chapter 2. Chris, as you were talking, I was reminded of Rita as well, and reminded how Rita was just always such a great, great encourager. Made me think more highly of myself than I really deserved, and I always remember how she could make me feel about 3 miles high, but then I talked to you and you'd bring me right back down to earth. So I always appreciated that. That was a good working there together. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. We should be very familiar with this passage, if not before, at least through this time of our study on this amazing thing called grace. As we have looked at defining grace from a biblical standpoint, as we looked at serving grace, saving grace and serving grace. Now we're looking at ascending grace today. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I have a question this morning. What are you waiting for? What is it that you're waiting for in life? Are you waiting for me to get done so that you can do something else today? Watch a football game or get the roast out of the oven? Are you waiting for tomorrow to start your work week? Are you waiting for the big game on Friday night? Are you waiting for that promotion? Are you waiting for that life-changing event? What is it that you're waiting for today? What is it that your hope and your future is fixed upon? Well, it's my hope that if you've been saved by grace this morning, what you're waiting for is that moment in time that we just sang about. When that trumpet will sound, and when the sky cracks open and the Lord Jesus Christ returns to bring us home, both the living and the dead, to be with Him forever. What I hope as a believer that you're looking forward to is that time. Now, understand that time when Jesus comes. He returns not to be beat down and to lay down His life, but He comes as the conquering King. He comes as the one sent by God the Father to bring us home in His glory and in His splendor. When He comes to take us from the toils and the snares and the pain and the struggle of this world, and He brings us to the New Jerusalem, to that place where there is no more tears, there's no more pain, there's no more suffering. And everything that we gave in our lives as we gave over to Jesus Christ, it'll all be worth it then. Are you looking forward to that day? Oh, if I were a cheerleader, I'd start doing some kind of cheer to get you guys going today. That is ascending grace. That's what grace is all about. When we define grace as what we don't deserve, it makes that ascending grace so much sweeter. Because we're not getting what we deserve, eternity in hell, separated from God in death, because we're filthy, wretched sinners. No, God loves us and said, I'm going to give you something that I want you to have. And that's relationship with me for all eternity. And so He saves us by His grace. And in the time between He saves us to the time that we experience that ascending grace, there's a time of serving grace so that we're made ready and that more people can know that grace. So that when that ascending grace transforms us from this world to home, we can celebrate with far more people. What are you looking forward to today? If that's not what is on the forefront of our mind as what we're looking forward to, then we need to kind of maybe readjust ourselves. We need to relook at what we're living for and why we're living. We're looking forward to that day when Christ returns and he makes everything right. When Christ returns and we then will be home. There's nothing better than after a long time away from home, after a long journey, finally getting home, sleeping in your own bed, sitting in your own chair, going about your own routine. It's fun to sojourn places, but it's even better to get back home. And that's what we're going to experience in that day. That's what ascending grace is all about. It's like the song reminds us, and grace will lead us home. Grace will lead us home. Remember that this is not our home. We may have a house here, a car here, a family here. We might even have a pet here, a job here. But we're not citizens of this world. There is a home to come. And as part of God's ascending grace, one day we'll find that home. One day we'll know that home. Jesus will descend, and all who have followed him will be caught up together with him, both the living and the dead. The dead first, and then the living, as we'll see in a little bit. But it's all based on his ascending grace. Do you realize in that moment, it's not going to be how many times you went to church. Do you realize in that moment, it's not going to be whether or not you said the Lord's Prayer right or not. It's not going to be whether or not you put enough in the offering plate. It's not going to be about you. It's going to be about God. It's going to be about what God did. It's going to be about his grace and what we did with his grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So one of the first things that we need to see as we close out our time of talking specifically about grace, obviously every time we preach a sermon and open the Word of God, we're experiencing God's grace and we're talking about God's grace. But we focused our attention in the last several weeks on this. First thing we need to see about grace, ascending grace, begins at salvation. Do you realize that? Ascending grace begins at salvation. We begin our flight home at the moment of salvation. At the moment we come to salvation in Jesus Christ, to use a loose metaphor, we've boarded the plane for home. Now, we're still got to ride the journey out, but we're on the plane, and we're headed home. Go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 36. John 3:36. We know John 3:16 well, but how often do we read on to catch the meat and the truth? John 3:36 says this: whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Now, sometimes we got to be careful about just reading through the Scripture really fast and not meditating on it. We don't want to just close the Bible having read the Bible. We want to close the Bible having meditated on His Word and thought through and asked His Holy Spirit to look at it. Because look what He says here. For all, whoever believes in the Son has. That word has is present tense in the Greek. That means that it's now, in this moment. It's not something that's off in the distance. It's something that occurs in the moment. A way that if you took it to the original Greek, you could say is that everyone who believes in that moment has eternal life. They have ascending grace in that moment that we believe in the message of God's Son. It's not something later. It's now. Vice versa, those who don't believe that message remain locked under God's wrath. Look what he says. It says, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. So that's another key word there, remains. That tells me that before the grace of God And as we receive that gift of God, before that happens and the transformation occurs in our life, that we are under God's wrath. That we are destined for hell. But the ascending grace of God, through the saving grace of God, and the moment of our transformation, gives us eternal life. By believing in the Son, by giving ourselves over in receipt of the gift of God through Jesus Christ, we become partakers in the ascending grace of God in that moment. In that moment, our eternal future is secure. It breaks my heart to hear people have to wonder and worry about what will happen when they die. It breaks my heart even to hear people who have been in church all their life, uncertain about their eternal destiny, when the Lord God has made it so very evident. All who believe have, in the moment, right now, eternal life. We don't have to hope that we've done everything right. It's not like we've taken a final exam in some way, and after we're done, and after we kind of come down off of the adrenaline of having studied and prepared and taken the exam, hope that we got, well, hope I got number 3 right. That's kind of a tough question, and boy, if I didn't get that one, I might have blown the whole passer. Well, in that essay, I hope I read the question right, because boy, if the professor reads that wrong, well, he's going to flag me and I'm going to be done. No. Look what God says here to us, to all of us. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. It's completed. It's accomplished. It is done. When Jesus said it is finished from the cross, he wasn't kidding around. It was finished. It wasn't for dramatic effect. It was to realize for all of us the punishment for sin, the death that was due us, so that we then could fall under in belief of him and his work, in acceptance of the work that he did, we could fall under his ascending grace and know that we know that we know that we have eternal life. That's not to make us better than ourselves. That's to make us realize the giver of the good gift is better than anything we could ever imagine. We have ascending grace. This physical body is going to give out. We're a spirit, and we are a physical. And we all know this physical body is one day going to give out. If the Lord tarries and doesn't return, one day things are going to start going wrong on this thing we call the body. But one day, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we were promised eternal life. A life that would never perish, spoil, or fade. You know, as I watched my dad begin to decline with Alzheimer's, it was a frustrating, rough process to see that happen. But on that day in June 16th when he passed away, there was a part of me that rejoiced so fervently. Because you know what? He had a clear mind. You know what? He walked with a perfect gait. What held him in bondage on this earth from his physical body was gone. Because I know that I know that I know that there was a time in his life when he called out to the Lord Jesus Christ to be his Savior and his Lord. And in that moment, he had that ascending grace. I wonder this morning how many of us sitting in here are missing the hope, the joy, and the security of knowing that we know that we know that we have ascending grace, because we've never come to God for our salvation. We're still looking within ourselves to find our own salvation. Oh, it would be a tragedy to leave this morning not knowing God's great salvation, because in the moment that you believe, you will have God's ascending grace. Do you know that grace this morning? In Ephesians 2, 1 through 5, we find that we were under wrath. We were under the penalty of God's condemnation. But when His grace appeared, we were saved. Saved into eternal life. Do you have that salvation today? Do you know that salvation today? We're no longer objects of wrath, but by grace are saved. And in that moment of salvation, we have eternal life. If it sounds like I'm repeating the same point over and over again, rest assured I am. You're not going crazy, because I want us to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I want those who don't know that salvation as their own to hear that over and over again, that it might stick in our minds, and we might replay that message over and over again, so that we can know that we know that we know that we have ascending grace through Jesus Christ. There are those who are destined for a sinner's hell, and that at one time was all of us. But through salvation, we've been given ascending grace. The second thing that we see about ascending grace will come unexpectedly. Just as salvation comes to us unexpectedly, as the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and we see the truth of God, and we know that all He said is true, that we're sinners, and that we and ourselves could never measure up to God, but God has given us the way, the ascending grace of God will come unexpectedly. Matthew 24, you turn there, Jesus, in His teaching on what was to come for His disciples, makes it very clear to us that no one really knows the day or the hour. No one knows when His return will occur. All we know is very imminent. We know that it's coming. And in Matthew 24, we find that just as God's grace is God's choice, God's decision, so is His return of His Son. In Matthew 24, starting in verse 1, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when His disciples came up to Him to call His attention to its buildings. Do you see all these, He asked? I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately. Tell us, they said, when will all of this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in My name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. What we find is His return is unknown to us. But we know that it's imminent, because all these things Jesus talked about, they're happening now. They were happening then, and they continue to happen today. He said, don't be alarmed by those things. They've got to happen. Why do they have to happen? Because we live in a broken world. We live in a sinful world. All these things have to happen as men grow more and more perverse and more wicked and more evil. These things are going to happen. All these things are the outcropping of a life without Christ. And as we live in a world without Christ, those things are going to happen. But Jesus reminds us, take hope, because the ascending grace that's visited upon you at salvation is your hope to endure through all of these things. We can't sit back and think, well, I'll wait till next Sunday to receive that salvation. I'll wait till next Sunday or next year to get my life right. No, we need to get our life right now, because we don't know the day or the hour. We don't know when that kind of thing is going to happen. Don't be deceived by people who think they can tell you when it's going to happen. Because Jesus, the Son of God, said, I don't know. I'm just waiting on the Father to send me. And when He sends me, at that point, it's on. It's going to come with a fury, with glory, with majesty. And everything is going to be different. We go on in verse 9 through 13. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted. Wait, stop there. Wait a minute. I thought this Christianity thing was supposed to be about me. I thought it was supposed to be about me living my life the way I want to live it. I thought it was supposed to be me and Jesus got our own thing going. Jesus, what are you talking about? Be handed over to be persecuted. Let's look at this. then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people because of the increase of wickedness. The love of most will grow cold. But you, who stand firm to the end, will be saved. And this ascending grace, and the reason we get ascending grace in the moment of our salvation, as we live out the serving grace that God gives us in His salvation, the world is going to hate us. The world is going to revile us. Because we have a message of truth that they don't want to have to bend the knee to. So Jesus reminds us that before the ascending grace for most is going to come the need for God's great serving grace that will keep us on task despite all that happens to us. Stand firm in the knowledge of God's grace in the difficult times. Stand firm knowing that Christ will be true to His Word and He will return and will experience what was given to us in salvation, ascending grace. Look at verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Did you see that? You want to know the key to getting Christ here sooner? Start evangelizing the world around you. Start sharing the gospel with everyone around you. Start training up young missionaries through disciple makers that will go into all the world. Start having more things that are more important than the training of our young people and our old people in the church. And let's start spreading the message of Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen until all the world hears the gospel. Because God's a God of grace and mercy. Did you catch that? And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. You want to hurry? Let's get busy doing the work we're called to do. Go make disciples. I'll just think on that for a minute. Let that sink in. Verse 15. So when you see standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountain. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for the pregnant woman and the nursing mother. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or in the Sabbath. For them there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would have survived. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Jesus is referring to the destruction of the temple that would happen in just a few short years after his death and resurrection. But he's also referring in that prophecy to the greater prophecy of the end. When such wickedness transpires on the earth, the gospel has been preached and the gospel has been rejected for the evil that will be a counterfeit God in this world. And in that moment, destruction will occur. And what Jesus reminds us is just like God reminded Lot, when the destruction for evil comes, don't look back at what you have, but look forward to what you do have. Don't go back for your cloak. Don't go back to get anything in this world. But latch on to the ascending grace of God with everything that you have. Don't look back and think, oh, I wish I could still have... No, look forward to what is to come. The ascending grace of God. 23. At that time, if anyone says to you, look here, here's the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs or false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is, out in the desert, do not go out. Or he says, here he is, in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man. wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Jesus is reminding us, we have ascending grace. Don't be deceived by anything else. Jesus has already come once. And when he comes again, it's going to be very evident. Don't believe people who want to claim that, well, this is the Messiah, or this is the Messiah, or he's out here, he's over here. No, he's not going to come from here. He's coming from here. And just as when a storm comes, you see the lightning all around and no one can mistake it's coming, in the same way it's going to happen with Jesus Christ. In those days, there's going to be great lamenting because they rejected the gospel. But there's also going to be great joy for those who accepted the gospel, who received the grace of God in Jesus Christ. He's saying, don't be deceived by those folks. He said, they're dead. They're living dead men. And where they gather, the vultures are going to be. You're going to be able to tell that that message is untrue because you'll see the vultures gather. Just like you can see a carcass in the desert because the vultures are around it. So you can see the lies of those who try to be a counterfeit God. Stick to the ascending grace that God has given us. Verse 29. Immediately after all the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Man, that is good news this morning for us as believers. I encourage you to read that 3 or 4 times this week at least, to remember that we can make no mistaking of the return of Christ Jesus. There's no way for the believer to be deceived because God has given us what's going to happen in his word. Now, we may not know that exact moment, but we know what it's going to look like. It's going to be unmistakable. The ascending grace of God is for us. It was given to us at salvation. And Jesus says here, when the sign of the Son of Man appears, there's going to be a loud trumpet call. And he's going to return with power and glory and his army of the heavenly hosts. And it's going to be this picture of him gathering all those who are the elect in. And we'll usher into eternal life forever. What a great picture of the ascending grace that is ours in Jesus Christ. The world will mourn because they rejected God, but believers will rejoice because we will be home. It goes and says, take a lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs are tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words never will. That ascending grace is secure because it's based on God's word, not our own. Heaven and earth will pass away, the word of God never will. Verse 36. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. That's a great reminder for us this morning that we need to live our lives in the ascending grace of God, that we need to be about the business of God, and that if we don't know the grace of God as our own, now is the day of salvation. None of us know if we have tomorrow. We don't even know if we have this afternoon. As we plan for disciple makers, we don't even know if we make it to that night. All we know is we have right now in God's Word, His gospel is being presented. And our choice is, will we accept it or will we reject it? Will we receive it or will we discard it? And the moment we receive it, we have this great ascending grace. Oh, this picture is going to be spectacular for the believer of Jesus coming, not as a lamb any longer, but as a warrior king. And when he comes, he gathers his own. It's in the parable of the wheat and the weeds, when finally the weeds are separated from the wheat and the wheat is gathered in, but the weeds are burned. The ascending grace of God is that gathering in. Oh, I hope you know it's going to be unexpected. It's going to be quick. we're not going to know. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter, who was with Jesus as he taught this, and as he became the missionary to the Jewish people, in 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 10, says this, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this day, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness." Man, that doesn't get you charged up and excited. To know that we have that awaiting us, that is there for us. Be ready. You know, if you want to be a successful thief, if you want to be a good robber, here's a little tip for you. I couldn't probably do this from the pulpit, but if you want to be a good thief, don't tell people you're coming to their house. Don't give them a call and let them know you're going to be there during a certain time to steal all their jewelry. Because they're probably going to be ready and you're not going to be real effective. That's the whole point of the Son of Man coming as a thief. And come when we don't expect it, when we're not ready. It's again the idea that we're not in control of anything. All we can do is receive what God has already done in his great sovereignty and control. Ascending grace is going to come unexpectedly. Our flight home will come possibly when we least expect it. We see the signs all around us that it's imminent. But the actual moment of that ascension is unknown. Will we be ready is the question. Will we know? And will we be with him in eternity? The third thing that we see, and I know I've got to hurry, ascending grace is complete at Jesus' return. Once he comes, we're home. And that's it. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. How I love these words and how I hold to these words. How so many martyrs of the Christian faith who stood firmly on the Word of God, even at the cost of their own life, cherish these words. John 14, 1 through 4. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." And he goes on to remind us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's going to heaven to be with the Father. There's a place prepared for all who have received his grace and followed him as their Lord. Jesus and his return make the ascending grace final. No longer, when he returns, will we look forward to anything, because all will be accomplished and fulfilled. Everything will be as it should be. What was broken through sin in the garden will be made right through grace on the cross of Jesus Christ. Ascending grace is complete. Go to Hebrews 9. If you don't have this verse underlined in your Bible and memorized, I want to encourage you to make that a part of your memory plan. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 through 28. "Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." Let me ask you again, what are you waiting for this morning? Are you waiting for Christ's return to bring that ascending grace that was yours through acceptance of his grace in Jesus Christ? He's coming. It's going to be there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Sadly, sometimes the only time we read this passage is at funerals, and it's a great time to read it. But what encouragement it would be to us in our daily life if we committed this to our hearts and lives. Brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Ephesians 4, 13 through 18. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. How good are we encouraging each other in the ascending grace of God? When we're struggling and people are hurting, but we're relying on, guys, this isn't our home. I know it hurts. I know it's tough, but remember, we're not home yet. We're going to get there. Jesus is going to come back, and He's going to take us to be with Him. We've got to stay the course, stay together, trust in Him, let His Holy Spirit work in us, and one day we're going to experience that ascending grace that's ours through Jesus Christ. Are we encouraging one another in that? Are you ready for His return? Ascending grace, fourth thing, will make all things new. Ascending grace will make all things new. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul reminds the Corinthian church that you know what, these bodies that we have, these bodies that are laid to rest, they're not going to come back as the same body. They're going to come back different. They're going to come back made new. 2 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 35. So someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be. You just plant the seed, perhaps a weed or something else. But God gives it a body as He determined, and to each kind of seed He gives it its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly body is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly body is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and stars differ from stars in splendor. So will it be at the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is sown a spiritual body. Everything is made new. These old, crusty, dilapidated homes that we live in are going to be laid to waste. They're going to be discarded. And we're going to be given a new body, a resurrection body, a body that is different, a glorified body that can never perish, spoil, or fade. That's the ascension grace. It's going to make all things new. Over in 2 Corinthians, starting in verse 1, Paul says, now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building. Notice the contrast there, tent versus building. One is temporary, the earthly body. One is eternal, the building. From God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For we are all in this tent. We groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us His Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. It's not us. It's not me. The Holy Spirit guarantees that what God has said, that He will make all things new. That is what will happen. Go to Revelation chapter 21. In the end, as Jesus returns, we'll find that He will make all things new. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then He said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Everything is going to be new. We can cocky, arrogant, prideful, full of self, and say, no, this is going to happen. This is all this whole God thing. it's not going to happen. We can debate his return. We can argue over how it's going to happen, pre-millennial, post-millennial, all that kind of stuff. But in the end, all that's going to matter is that his word is going to be true, that he is going to come, and with him he's going to bring ascending grace. When he comes, he's going to make all things new. The arguments will be over. The only thing left will either be rejoicing because we're in that number, or lamenting for all eternity that we rejected. When the word was preached, we were distracted by our note writing and our jokes and our attempts at trying to block out the word of God so that we somehow might not be accountable to it. We're going to be broken over the things that we did when we had opportunity to hear and know God's salvation, and we rejected it because it didn't meet our criteria or our standards. We're going to be broken because we missed the opportunity of a gracious God to give us his grace and give us life eternal. We'll stand before God, not arrogant and cocky, with a choice, but we'll stand for God, before God, broken, on our way to an eternal hell. Because that's the next thing that we find about ascending grace. Ascending grace saves from a descending wrath. The good news is the ascending grace. The bad news is it saves us from what we're destined for apart from God's grace, and that's hell. It's a sad and tragic foot side to the story. In fact, John tells it first in his vision of all things becoming new. Before that, in Revelation 20, we see this, starting in verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it, earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the book. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. God is not playing around with sin. God has not dismissed sin. God poured his wrath on his son. And those who reject the work of his son on the cross, the gospel, God's grace, will experience his wrath in full measure. And it's not an ascending grace at that point. It's a descending wrath. In Matthew 25:41, Jesus calls hell a place prepared for Satan and his followers. You know what? He doesn't distinguish between his followers. There is a category that is for those who follow Satan, and it's all those who reject the grace of God. You don't have to be a Satanist priest or worship in a Satanist temple to be a follower of Satan. All you have to do is be a rejecter of the grace of God, and that puts you in the same boat. He says, prepare hell. Prepare for those who reject the grace of God. That's where my descending wrath will be poured out. Jesus said it this way, what does it profit you to gain the whole world, to live in your own arrogance and self-assurance, and yet forfeit your soul? This morning, are you living in the ascending grace of God because you've experienced the saving grace of God through Jesus Christ? Or do you care nothing at all? You're just going to live for this moment and hope that everything that the Word of God tells us is just some big cosmic myth. Are you hoping that your arrogance is going to lead to something where you'll find hope for all eternity? Or will you humble yourself and believe God, the God who has made himself evident, the God who has made himself known, the God who continues to prove himself time and time again, wants to give you ascending grace. He wants to save you from the descending wrath for all of us who are bound, who remain, as John 3:36 says, under the wrath of God. He wants to save us from that. Have you experienced that salvation today? Do you know that great salvation in this moment? In just a moment, we're going to have an opportunity for you to just call out so that you can know that you know that you know that you have that ascending grace, so that you can celebrate in that moment when the sky is cracked and the trumpet sounds and Christ returns for all who have accepted His grace and received His mercy. When we're joined together with those who've gone before us and we stand before the glorious throne, not in judgment, but in celebration that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And all the things that we did wrong were covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. And we won't experience that eternal death, but we'll live in eternal life. If that's you this morning, you haven't experienced the grace of God through Jesus Christ, would you call out Him today? Would you call on Him today? If you're living your life as a professing believer in Jesus Christ, but it's not for God, it's for you, would you come to Him in brokenness? Commit your ways to Him? Would you be the one who goes and shares the message of the gospel, the hope of eternity, the good and the bad news, so the good news can be received? My prayer this morning, that you'll respond to Jesus Christ and know the ascending grace of God. Our praise team's coming right now. We're not going to extend the time out. I'm not going to try to pry people out. The Holy Spirit will reveal your heart. He'll reveal the connection that you have or don't have with God through Jesus Christ. The question is, will you respond or will you continue to reject? God gives us the grace of choice. We can choose, we can reject, or we can humble and we can receive. What will it be today? Father, I thank you for this time. I pray that you would move among us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand. The Holy Spirit is not waiting for the response.